Welcome to the Mindful Medicina Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Jeanette Daniels. I'm a naturopathic medical doctor on a mission to inspire a renewed confidence in the intelligence of the human body. And joining the conversation today is my friend and colleague, Janelle Hartman, lymphatic and colon hydrotherapist, esteemed yoga teacher of teachers, and the co-producer of this show. There are nearly 58 million pet cats in the U.S. alone, and the number is growing. What exactly is this irresistible draw to share space with these stunning creatures? Even merely observing them is a form of therapy. Assistant Professor Jessica Gall-Mirick from Indiana University asked 7,000 people how they felt before and after watching videos of cats. The results found that people felt happier after watching videos of cats and that they felt less anxious or sad. Pet ownership has been claimed to have mental health benefits such as a reduction in stress, a sense of purpose and meaning to life, management of emotions and increased ability to cope with difficult life situations, a reduced risk to older adults developing mental health disorders associated with loneliness and depression. And on a physical note, in 2018, the American Heart Association found that increased social support through pet ownership lowered blood pressure. Feline fascination is timeless. In the post-nomadic era, ancient Egyptians revered them as protectors of their food supply, ridding the granaries of mice, insects, and other pests. This is how cats charm their way into households, offering their many services in exchange for protection and, inevitably, affection. On the esoteric level, practitioners of Egyptian initiatic magic recognized the cat's ability to help them cross into the astral plane to conduct dream work, confront internal adversaries, and conquer evil influences. Bastet, the cat deity, depicted as a dark, proud, upright-sitting feline, was an important Egyptian archetype and even had her own temple in the city of Bubastis, a name which means the house of Bast. Philosophers, poets, artists, spiritual masters, and all manners of creative, innovative, and revolutionary characters throughout history share accounts of their intimacy with beloved cat companions who've embodied the spirit of an elevating frequency that they themselves were endeavoring to bring forth. Independent, fierce, active, cunning, and sly, with an ability to slip suddenly into sweetness, engagement, restful repose, enjoyment of simple pleasures and overwhelming snuggles. Well, it's easy to understand why they garner some haters and are flanked by so many lovers. Wherever you land on this spectrum, we think you'll be intrigued with our conversation today. Our guest is Sylvie Sterling, a professional cat expert, animal communicator, energy healer, spiritual teacher, and an awakening coach, specializing in helping cats and their humans live a happy, fulfilled, and purposeful lives together. Sylvie has experience and insights into the feline psyche and soul, which are based on actual conversations with the cats. I had to share this. Janelle was kitty-sitting my sweet feline beloved, Lady, a couple of years ago. She sent me a video of her snuggling with passionately purring lady and reading her a bedtime story from a well-known modern Taoist philosopher, Dingmen Dao, in his novel, The Wandering Taoist. In this part of the story, the master is addressing his student.
The cat is spiritual. She meditates. When she sits at the window sill or in front of a mouse hole, she is unmoving and concentrates just like our masters. You've seen her waiting for a rat. Nothing distracts her. Her mind is only on one point. She can sit for almost an entire day at one hole until the rat comes out and she catches it. Yin and yang, perfect stillness and concentration, perfect action and strength. Our cat does not need teachers. The cat teaches itself. It preserves energy, knows the art of breathing, heals itself, and is skilled in meditative concentration. Study the cat. Everything you need to learn, she knows already. That's right.
Hello, we're joined here today by a very special, beautiful soul, Sylvie Sterling. She is a cat whisperer and founder of Feline Soul Academy, and we're really excited to go into the topic of really felines as medicine and how we can be medicinal for them. So thank you for joining us today, Sylvie. We're happy to have you.
So grateful to have you here today, Sylvie.
Hello. Well, thank you for having me. I think this is a beautiful topic to talk about. So I was very intrigued to do this.
Mm-hmm. We want to start our conversation off with going into how you really started to go into the medicine and the conversation with cats and open up your own practice as an animal communicator, energy healer, and spiritual teacher on this topic.
Well, I really was not planning on doing any of this. It just kind of, it came about. So I've always loved cats when I was little, when I was a girl. I always really connected with cats and with animals, period. So my cats, my dogs were always my teachers, my companions when I was growing up. But when it was time to go into, you know, pick a profession, pick a job, I went into the corporate world, actually, and I got into marketing. I did movie marketing for 20 years. I was in the movie industry, and it was great, and it was grand, and I loved it. But then after 20-plus years, it started to become more and more shallow, and I started to say that there has to be something else out there. There has to be something more than just doing movie marketing, right? Something meaningful, something that helps people. And I started to look for my purpose, and I was already in my 40s when I did that. Mm. And it didn't really take me long to realize my purpose was with cats. I wanted to work with cats. I wanted to help out cats and got into the whole cat psychology. I started to take classes, and I started to, you know, pile up degrees. It was all from the head. I wanted to have degree after degree after degree so I could, people would take me seriously, right? And I started to work with cats, but it still didn't. It was too much from the head. And then things kind of start to spiral. My spiritual awakening started. The energy healing found me. So I started to add energy healing to what I was doing. And then animal communication opened up a whole new level for me. I started to learn animal communication. And that really put me on a whole new level because so many things came in that I wasn't expecting, or that confirmed what I knew about cats. And then what really put me over was a channeling that came through a cat, and she channeled my soul family, my star family. And she told me that my purpose was to talk about the purpose of cats and how cats are here to help us humans with our purpose. So it's all about purpose. And that came as a channeling through a cat, and that changed everything.
That's beautiful. And so from there, so you knew that you were going to embark on helping to connect humanity with this gift from the cats. And what is your process then that you've developed?
Yes. So I would typically, I mean, I was working as a cat psychologist at the time, as a cat coach. Mm. So people would, and I started to make this more and more my main, you know, my main job. I kind of eased into that. I actually let go of my day job and I just eased or then jumped into it. And people would typically call me with their cat problems. They said, my cat is restless. My cat is meowing. Please help me. My cat doesn't use the litter box. Please help me. My cats are fighting. All these problems that people have with cats, right? Weird, alarming cat behavior. And they thought I was going to give them just these tips and tricks and what they could do. But it turned out I started to talk to the cats and the cats told me, it's not, all the cats basically was unanimous. They said, it's not me. It's my human who's not happy. It's my human who's restless. It's my human who's not happy with their lives. It's my human who fights with their spouse or with, you know, it's my human who doesn't trust the world. Mm-hmm. So they basically said they were a reflection of us. And it wasn't, they just tried to tell their human there was something off in their world, not in the cat's world.
Mm-hmm.
And that just changed everything because then he said, oh my God, of course, yeah, yes, mm-hmm. you know, my cat is right. Yes, I do have a rocky relationship with my husband right now. Yes, I am unhappy in my job. Yes, I am restless. Yes, I am feel pent up in the house or something. Mm-hmm. And then I work with the humans and the cats together. And then when we have a solution or a resolution, because as the person starts to work on their patterns, on their issues, on their life topics, right? The cats start to become, you know, go into ease and flow. And it was really helping the human is helping the cat, or helping the cat is helping the human. So that's how the whole thing came about. I started to work with both humans and cats and just worked on having happy people and happy cats.
Mm. And you have written this fantastic book about the archetypes that you recognize in these, the different types of healing that cats bring through. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, that is actually the center of what I've been doing in the last couple of years, because cats have a beautiful, wonderful purpose with us. And it's something that is commonly not widely talked about or not known. I mean, we all know the stereotypes that a lot of people say cats have no purpose. They just eat and sleep and they're lazy. They're just lying around. They don't even like their people because they're so independent, right? These are the stereotypes that people have. People say it's commonly acknowledged that dogs have a purpose because dogs guard the house or they protect the family or they, you know, whatever it is that the dogs do, or horses have a purpose. But it's not commonly known that cats have a purpose. A lot of people think that they just eat and sleep and do whatever they want to do. And nothing is further from the truth. So when I connected with all these cats and I literally talked to thousands of cats and they all said the same thing. They say, I'm here with a purpose. Yes, I'm here to do something for my human. I help my human on their life journey or on their physical level, on the emotional level. And they just told me what they were doing for people. And then eventually I saw this pattern. So I put in this book, in this ebook, 10 cat archetypes. These are the 10 main purposes or categories of purpose that cats have with us. So there is the joy bringer. These are the obvious ones. The joy bringer, the emotional supporter. There's the healer, the energy worker, the mirror, the muse. So these are the categories of things that what cats typically do for us. And I put it all in a booklet for people. It's easy to read up. And once you know what your archetype, what your cat's archetype is, what your cat does for you, it really opens up a whole new level and relationship with your cat.
Mm. That's really sweet. And I noticed that there was in those archetypes that there was some very particular ways to recognize. You also give, like, if your cat does this, so it gives people a guide to really observe this friend that they know and to make these identifications. When somebody makes that identification, then do you have further instructions on each one of those archetypes and how they can move forward? Is this when they would have a consult with you to see how to continue in?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So in right now, it's a really easy read. It's a small booklet. It's called The 10 Cat Archetypes. And I give a little explanation at the end of the book. If your cat is a so-and-so, this is what you need to know. This is how you go forward. So I give them little tips and tricks in that booklet, mm-hmm. how they can work with the archetype. I have a lot more information. Actually, my second book will be coming out very soon. And I give much more information on the archetypes and how they help you and how you work with them. And so that's coming up in the next book, actually. Mm-hmm. But when people book me or when I have sessions with people or I do classes, I have an academy where people can find out more about how to work with your cat. If your cat is an energy worker, say, or if your cat is a healer, how you can work with them or how they want to work with you.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lily, I want to just do a rewind a little bit to kind of touch on something that you mentioned, is that there's this sort of a, many people have this impression of cats. Some people really dislike cats. Some people absolutely love them. Some people just kind of feel like they're aloof, like you said, like they're lazy, they have no purpose. And when we were chatting before we started recording, you mentioned that there's something really special about the way that cats began to interface with humanity. I thought I'd ask you to share that and maybe then dovetail that into maybe some of the reasons why they're liked or disliked so much. Again, kind of illuminating that.
Yeah, so it's interesting because cats are actually the only animals, or I don't even like the word animal for cats anymore because they're so highly evolved. But cats are the only animals or pets that actually came to live with us out of their own free will. They were never domesticated like dogs or horses or sheep or goats or all these other animals that people are, let's say, have entered into agreements with, as in the dogs help guard the house and protect and everything. So the dogs were domesticated. They were brought in, they were trained, they're trained to obey orders, they're trained to do something for us. Same with the horses. They were trained to do something for us, or the cows or the sheep, or they are all to train to do something with us. They were all domesticated for us. And the cats are the only ones that came to live with humans out of their own free will. And what happened was 10,000 years ago, roughly, when humans started to settle down, or our civilization as we know it, when humans started to settle down and get away from being nomadic, settle down, they started to do farming and agriculture. So they started to do corn and stuff like that, and they stored the corn in their chambers or in the barns, whatever they had at the time. And then the rodents, the mice would come in, right, and eat the corn. And then the cats would move in. They saw that it was kind of a smorgasbord for them. It was, open table, right? So the cats came in and started to hunt the mice, and they would eat the mice and the rats and keep the corn chambers of humans clean. And the humans said, this is interesting. These animals, they come in here and they help us keep our food safe. So after a while, it started to be a friendship. Humans start to feed the cats or invite them in the winter, invite them into their home when the cats would come into their home. And it became a symbiotic relationship. The cats were keeping the food clean, clear for the humans. And the humans in turn gave them a warm place at the hearth, or they would feed them. And soon they started to realize that the cat's presence had this very soothing, the cat's presence in their home was just really wonderful because cats have this wonderful presence, right? I mean, we cat lovers, we know when a cat is in the room, it purrs, they just fill the room with their energy. Mm-hmm. And it's very soothing and calming. So that's really how the relationship became very entwined with the cats, but they came to us out of their own free will. They were never domesticated. Hmm. And when you look at now, the cat is actually still, I mean, I know there's indoor cats, right? A lot of people, because of where we live in the cities and urban areas, it's not safe for a lot of cats to go outside. So they're indoor cats. But the cat is really the only pet that is still allowed to do whatever they want. A lot of cats are allowed to go outside, come and go as they please. Are dogs allowed to do that? No, right? Mm-hmm. are dogs allowed to sleep in the bed? Usually not. The cats sleep in the bed. The cats do whatever they do the entire day. We do not force them to do anything. mm-hmm. which is different than our relationship with dogs. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so beautiful about the relationship with cats. We recognize them as they are independent. They are kind of just like us. So they get to spend their day as they want to spend their day. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's different from any other animal that we have.
Yes. Yeah. And do you think that that creates some people are disturbed by that a bit? Like yes. Maybe that independence is disturbing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's what it was in the Middle Ages when cats were hunted together with the alleged witches and all these things were taking place. Cats were feared back then because cats had that independence. And in the Middle Ages, it was not, women were not allowed to be independent or independent thinking. It was all about you do as we say, right? Mm-hmm. So cats were feared in many cultures because they could not be put in a box. They could not be tamed. They could not be put in a box, you know, not literally, but they could not be controlled. The cats would just do whatever they wanted to do. So a lot of people actually fear cats for that because they can figure them out and they can tell them what to do. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people are intimidated by that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like I've heard people say that it bothers them that the cat doesn't need them. Mm-hmm. You know, they they're maybe more interested in dog or something that looks to them for direction and needs them. And, you know, which is another type of relationship and love, you know, all God's creatures are lovely. But I think that might be why some people I've heard at least have that conflict.
Absolutely, yeah. And mm-hmm. I don't discredit that in any mm-hmm. way or form. If yeah. people prefer dogs, I love dogs too.
Yeah,
I
just, sweet.
Mm-hmm. You know, cats are my people. So. Mm-hmm. But dogs are dogs, horses are horses. They're here to do what they do, and it's all beautiful and wonderful.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So something you said earlier that I just had this kind of like a warm feeling when you said it, how you come into a room, you can feel the cat, just its presence warms up the room. You know, there's a healing presence when the cat is there and you hear the purrs. And can we talk about purring? Because there is actually, there's quite a bit of research around purr therapy and really the healing application of the purring.
Mm-hmm. So absolutely. Even the medical community concludes that the purring of a cat emits a frequency that is actually can heal bones. Even the medical community concluded, yes, the purring of a cat is a certain frequency, and that frequency helps heal bones and ligaments. So mm-hmm. that is clinically proven that a purring cat can help heal a person on a physical level. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a physician or anything, so I can't explain it in too much in detail, but that is proven even by medicine, by modern medicine. But what I also know is that cats are just generally, the cats describe it, they are in the love and joy frequencies. And if I don't know if you've ever seen these charts where certain emotions have a certain frequency. Mm-hmm. And love and joy are actually a very, very high frequency. It's the highest frequencies that we can be in. Mm. And the cats tell me that they are always in the love and joy frequencies. Mm-hmm. They are naturally in a higher frequency and they act as our tuning forks. Mm-hmm. So kind of these, you know, universal laws of vibration. I don't want to go into too much detail. But the cats say they act as our tuning forks because the one with the lower frequency eventually will match the one with the higher frequency. Mm. So the more we stay around cats, the more time we spend around our cats, the higher we go with our own frequency because we are automatically attuning to their high frequency. So they are our tuning forks to get us into the higher frequencies. And I think any cat lover knows that when they sit with their cat and the cat sleeps next to them, it's just such a soothing, calming feeling. And everybody will know what I talk about you might not have heard about the love and joy frequencies, but you just know what I mean, right? Because mm-hmm. when the cat is with us and the cat sleeps next to us, it just makes us so happy and so calm and so peaceful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're talking about Dr. Hawkins' frequency scale. And so yes. Love was a frequency of 500 and peace, I believe, was 6. So yes, very high, beautiful energy mm-hmm. beings.
Yeah. And I always experienced my sweet kitty as she was like doing Reiki on me all the time. Like I know that I recognize in one of the archetypes, I'm like, I think that she was, I believe it was just the healer that you called her, right? Like that, yes. That's one of the archetypes. Yeah. I mean, it just felt like she was constantly wanting to be on different parts of my body anytime I would sit down, and she would just, it was never the same place. She'd always want to be somewhere. But I think I've experienced that with a lot of cats, this feeling that there is some cleansing or healing happening.
Yeah. So all cats have these healing capabilities, not just the purring and not just the being in the love and joy frequencies, but all cats are naturally attuned to us, and they will notice when we're not in balance and they will give us healing. So all cats have that capability. And then there's the archetype, the healer. These cats are specifically healers, and they will do exactly that. They will lie on whatever body part they feel you need adjusting, attuning, balancing, healing. They're the ones that they will lie down when somebody's sick. They will lay down with that person, and they will literally generate healing frequencies. That is their job. That's what they do. Their entire body, their energetic makeup, mm-hmm. is made to send healing frequencies and to tune into what is it that the person needs. Is it physical healing? Is it emotional healing? Is it spiritual healing? Mm-hmm. And they will literally generate healing frequencies. Mm. And if you're a lot of people who are healers will actually get a healer cat in their life. And these cats will literally sit with them when they do healings on other people, and they will help do the healings on other people or on other animals.
Oh, that's fascinating.
That's beautiful. And cats also seem to have like diagnostic powers or powers to help us identify if there is sickness. I've heard stories about being alerted to cancer or even pregnancies.
Yeah. Yeah. They feel energies. They're very much attuned to energies. They're not as visual as we are, because we're very visual, right? We're very much focused on our vision, on that sense, and on our ear, you know, auditive. What we hear, what we see is what is prevalent in our lives. Mm-hmm. And the cats, they are attuned to energies. They are attuned to the energy of a person. So in other words, when they look at you, I mean, yes, of course they see you, but they see your energy. So if you have anything going on that where you're not aligned, where you're not in tune, where your body has a physical illness, they see the energy, and they will literally, yes, they can. I've heard of cats that have literally told women that they're pregnant who weren't aware that they were pregnant, or people who had some kind of throat disease or liver disease, and the cats would literally lie on these body parts and tell them there's something that needs to be done.
It's beautiful. Yeah. And as far as like, this is, we've talked a lot about what cats do to assist us. And we had a specific, something we wanted to focus on today. And that's really the transition process, the dying process with our sweet cats. And what can we do to help them and hold space for them as they're preparing to cross over?
So they want you to be there for them in love and in awe. They do not want you to be stressed out and terribly worried all the time. We do not help them when we are in shambles and in tears all the time. We do not help them when we go, oh my God, my poor cat. So when we are in that energy, we're not helping them. They need us, or we can help them best if we are, let's say, if we, you know, kind of get ourselves together, if we remain fairly composed, if we just hold loving space for them during that period, let's say the last week or the last month or the last half year of their life, when we feel, and we usually know it, we're usually intuitive enough to know it, they want us to just be there for them and just, let's say, go into acceptance that it is what it is. And yes, it's not that they don't want to fight for their lives. Sometimes they do want us to fight for their lives. Some are fairly composed because they just know it's their time. And others say, yes, I want to stay alive as long as possible because I still have something to do. I'm not ready to go yet. And yes, they're not saying don't take me to the vet or don't give me medication, but they just don't want you to be in worry and stress all the time. The best we can do is just hold ourselves together and just be in love, in a loving, hold loving space for them and for ourselves. And as hard as it is, kind of relish this last time we have together.
Mm-hmm. Seems like they're always just they're the embodiment of presence, and that they're really asking us to step into just being present with them,
yes.
Just to be holding, literally just holding that vibration with them. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, Anna, from what I understand, cats are not afraid to transition from the mortal body like humans can be afraid. And so they really are in tune with our emotions in that moment, and they end up feeling our fear and our anxiety instead of coming to terms and feeling at peace and letting go. We can sometimes hold them here, yes, where they're ready to leave.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what I just wanted to say, and then I stopped. But you read my mind. It's exactly what I want to say. So cats know that, let's say, dying or let's say crossing over is part of life. They have a much more natural relationship with what we call death. We humans, we grow up being taught that death is horrible, death is terrible, there's nothing afterwards, right? I mean, in certain parts of the world, that is kind of what we're taught, being brought up. And death is just something that in a lot of societies, in a lot of human countries, societies, Western world, it's something you don't talk about, it's something you don't want to discuss, it's just this big, elephant in the room. And cats have a very natural way of dealing with it. They know it's part of life. That being said, I mean, nobody wants to die. I mean, when it comes, some cats, yes, they will fight for their life because obviously they don't want to die if they don't have to. But that being said, if they feel it's their time, and they do feel when it's their time, they are fairly composed. They know that it's not the end. They just inherently know that it's just crossing over to a different form of being. They are not really afraid of not being anymore. They know that dying is waking up, really. And that's what they showed me. I've helped so many people, and there are cats crossing over or in the last stages or after they crossed over. And the cats usually show me, they show me what it's like. It's basically when we see that they're closing their eyes and their body is basically going limp and the soul is leaving the body, what we see as they're falling asleep, they show me it's basically they're waking up and they are in this whole different dimension, and I just call it a different dimension, for lack of a better word. They're waking up and everything's colorful and everything's all of a sudden our world is grayed out and this world that they're in is colorful. There's other beings, there's other cats, there's other humans, others that crossed over, other souls that greet them. So they always show me that what we see as dying is really waking up. And they understand they're just crossing into a different form of existence. Mm. And that is why they're fairly composed usually when they cross over, before they cross over, because they just inherently know.
Mm. And do they then, have they communicated to you that they come back sometimes? Have you identified reincarnation,
yes,
of the cats? Yes,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. They come back to us a lot. Mm-hmm. Not all cats come back. Not every cat comes back. It's when they have soul contracts with us. It's when either we are very much entwined on a soul level, like the soulmate cats. It's also a category. They are the ones that reincarnate with us throughout the ages. And chances are we've been together many lifetimes before. So a lot of them come back. Some just have one lifetime with us and then they move on. But it's always whatever cat you need in your life at that point in time. Mm-hmm. So some come back right away, so after half a year. Some come back after 3 years, after 10 years, after 20 years. You might have a cat in your life that you had as a child. But yes, they do come back when we still have soul contracts, when they feel that a task, or when we both feel that their task is not fulfilled yet, that we still have something to do together, then they will come back.
Hmm. Yeah.
Interesting. With my cat, who she's 15 now, I wasn't looking for a cat. I actually had a cat. And one day this little kitten came to my door and I lived in an apartment building at the time, which had probably 8 or 10 apartment units. And this little kitty just kept coming to my door and crying. And I said, no, 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 I already have a cat. And she just was relentless. Finally, one day she was on my friend's, we let her in and my friend was feeding her. And she laid on my friend's chest and she bit her nose just really softly. And it was like this download of, oh yeah, it's you. I'm supposed to be with you. I'm supposed to take you. It was like a remembering of when she does this to your friend, this is the cue that I'm yours. And, you know, it was just fascinating that of all the apartments, you just kept coming to mine, you know?
Yes. Yeah. They have a way of finding us. They have a way of knowing. They don't always consciously know I need to be with this person. It's more their soul knows, their subconscious knows, and their soul guides them in our direction. So we all heard stories of people, right, who said they never go into Petco's or pet, you know, I don't know if I'm allowed to say names here, but they never go into this store. And that's the one day that they went to the store, they just went to get something real quick. And there was this cat or this dog sitting there. And oh my God, you know, they never go in there, but this cat just looked at them and they just said, I have to take this cat home. Or people go to a shelter and they say, I want to have a young female cat. And then they end up going home with two older male cats because those cats pick them, right? Or people say they go into a shelter and they're not looking, they're looking for a small dog. And this big dog walks up to the cage and just rattles the cage and they end up going home with that big dog that they never, you know, planned on getting. So they have a way of telling us, pick me. Mm-hmm. They just know. They get guided by their higher self, by their soul, to walk up to that person. And or people have told me that they went to somebody's house and that person had all these cats and they just wanted to drop something off. And then this cat comes running out and over and jumps in their lap and doesn't leave for 2 hours. And the person says, it's so weird. This person always hides when visitors come over. It's never, this cat never done it before. There was a friend of mine. And I said, I've never seen this cat do that. And the cat sat in her lap for 2 hours. And then she came back a week later and the cat did the same thing. So she said, I guess I'm going to have to take this cat home. And she did and became her friend for the next 20 years. So they just know.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
Okay. So the question is, as far as, you know, we talked before we started recording here about domestication and how cats are not technically domesticated because they choose to be with us differently than, say, a dog. A long time ago, you hear these episodes of people talking about cats and how really they were brought into the homes to manage, you know, pests or rats or mice, et cetera. What do you think? Because we talked about purpose. So if they're not domesticated and the purpose is to actually just be in relationship and support us, how are we here to support them and be medicine to them?
Well, the way it started out at first is that we basically provided a home for them, protection, so they didn't have to sleep outside at night. You know, we brought them into our homes and they could sleep, they would have a safe place to sleep where they were sheltered from the weather and other animals out there. So that's how it started, that we provided them with a home and protection, and they would help us keep our food source safe. And it's just evolved over the last centuries, I would say. It's just evolved into something different. And the cats told me that, so I talked to the cat collective. I started out talking to individual cats, and in the last 2-3 years it kind of evolved into I talked to the cat collective, to the field of cats, you know, the collective consciousness of cats, and they give me this channel information where they said they used to be very instinctual, like the cats that you see that go outside and they catch mice and they just, you know, they just do their cat stuff, or the feral cats, the cats in the wild. They are more instinctual than the cats that live with us now. But the cats say that they were also going through this spiritual awakening. The cats showed me it started when humans started to go through that awakening process, which let's say, start in the 60s, right? With freedom, personal freedom and expression. And it went through the 60s and the 70s. And now we're at the point where we're all about freedom of expression, right? And we're going through this awakening that there's so much more than just the 9-to-5 job. And the cats showed me they have gone through the same awakening process. They became more, let's say, more intelligent, more emotionally intelligent, more entwined with us, more aware of their powers, what they can do for us, that they are our healers, our energy workers, our muses, our mirrors, where they mirror our own topics back at us, so we recognize themselves in them. So they became more aware of what their purpose is as humans. Started to become more aware of, I have a purpose here. I'm not just here to, you know, to go through my life and raise a kid and die. I have a life purpose, right? I'm here to create something. I'm here to be an artist or a writer or a rocket scientist, whatever. So as humanity started to discover their purpose and discover that we are here as individuals creating a beautiful world together, so did the cats. So their purpose has shifted, or their existence with us, around us, has shifted in these last, let's say, since the 60s. And it's shifting more and more now as more people become aware of the healing power of cats or the healing presence of cats or how cats really literally help them. And they are evolving just like we are, spiritually and emotionally.
Mm-hmm. Right. So they're sharing in each individual's purpose. As far as the emotional and mental and spiritual support goes, it's just unprecedented what cats can do for us. We also can see that physically they're also giving us the medicine in the way of cardiovascular health. And, you know, in 2018, the American Heart Association did a study and found that blood pressure was better managed when the person had a relationship with a cat. They had given some participants lisinopril and saw that they could temporarily manage the blood pressure, but it wasn't until you added the cat into the person's life that they were better able to manage the stress that was causing the blood pressure to increase to begin with. So you could see that even just physically, like you were saying, the stress levels, the emotions are being managed with the cats. And I do think a lot of it has to do with sound medicine and the frequency of the purr, for example.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just the purring. It's really just the presence of the cat, because they are in a higher frequency than we are. And we are attuning to their frequencies. And yes, emotionally, they give us love, they give us affection, they give us companionship. So they help us emotionally. And when we're emotionally in a more stable, let's say, a state of mind or state of being, then that affects our heart health, right? It affects our nervous system, our heart, our immune system. Everything gets more balanced and more stabilized when we're emotionally in a good place, or from in a mental, when we're in a good mental state. Then that heals our body. So the cats just, they give us all that support, companionship. Yes, the purring. Yes, the frequency that they give us just by being around us. But also the just by holding a cat or stroking their fur and just, you know, cuddling with them, that also releases oxytocin into our body. And that releases all the feel-good hormones into our body, just holding them, cuddling with them, feeling them, the soft fur and everything, stroking them. That also has a positive influence on our hormone levels, on our immune system, on our heart health.
Yeah, there is a medicinal relationship, no question about it, when we are able to also give to our cats in the way of watching them, petting them, feeding them, and being there for them, and even just watching them play is medicine in both directions.
Yeah.
It also gives us purpose, because a lot of people who live alone or the elderly or during COVID, really a lot of people went out and bought cats because they wanted relationship and it gave them purpose. And you see in the elderly specifically, they actually live longer when they have a cat because it gives purpose.
Yes, they have a reason to get up in the morning. They need to be fit. They need to get up. They have a reason to get up because they need to feed their cat. They need to be there for their cat. So it gives them a reason to get up, literally, and to looking forward to getting up and not waking up to an empty house. But they have to get up. They have to be physically fit to get up and feed their cat and be with their cat. Absolutely. It prolongs people's lives, literally. There are studies about that too, by the way, that cats live, people in cat or elderly who have a cat or a dog actually live longer than elderly people who live alone. They don't have a cat or a dog. It literally prolongs people's lives.
Yes, and there's a level of self-acceptance that comes from being with the cats. A lot of people feel sometimes closer to cats because they feel they're non-judgmental, where human beings can sometimes feel judgmental. And so just having a relationship with a cat can give you that sense of self-acceptance that sometimes you might not get from your peers.
Yeah, absolutely. Because the cats, they don't care if you have a bad hair day. They don't care if you have a few pounds too many. They don't care what you look like. They see you. They always say they see right through our outward appearance. They look straight into our soul. They see us in our soul form. They perceive us in our soul form, in our pure form. They know exactly who we are. You cannot fool a cat. You cannot fool a cat into saying, oh, I'm doing okay, I'm doing fine. Your cat knows. If you're not fine, if you're faking it, if you're just saying, oh, I'm doing okay, I'm not stressed out, your cat will know that you're stressed out. Your cat will, they look right through us. And that's what makes them great companions, because we don't have to pretend to be somebody that we're not. We don't have to worry about having a bad hair day or anything like that. They just love us exactly how we are.
I had a question.
And that makes it easier. That makes it so much easier for people to be around cats and to be around humans. As you said, they're non-judgmental, completely non-judgmental.
I had a question, Sylvie. Kind of backing up to, you were talking about how cats came into the stores of grain and corn, and they got rid of pests, insects, and mice and all these things. Do cats also on other levels help clear any kind of rogue spirits or impurities, frequency impurities in our atmosphere as well? Do they work on that level?
Yes, absolutely. So they are, I mean, cats generally, by being in that high frequency, they do clear energies wherever they are in the area. There's one archetype that I call the energy worker. So there are certain cats, their entire purpose is to clear energies in people's homes or in around the person, for the family, in the area. They naturally clear homes and us. But there are some cats whose whole purpose is to clear homes or to clear people, to clear the family. And what's really interesting, the feral cat colonies or the street cat colonies, they actually have a purpose too. And I know people don't want them in the areas, and they try to shush them out or something. But they actually, street cat, feral cat colonies have shown me that they clear the area. They clear the energies in the area for the people who live there. Wow. So anybody who says, I don't want the feral cats in my area, they actually do something for you. They help clear your area. They transmute dense energies, dark energies, bad energies into lighter energies.
That's amazing. Wow.
And Sylvie, I wanted to let you know, I just loved the May Cat Summit. I love that you're doing these monthly summits, and really looking forward to June. Can you tell us about, because you had already mentioned that you're channeling collective and you have these beautiful teachings that you bring through, and you're delivering these messages, and tell us about your cat summits, and so that we can check them out and share them with our listeners.
Sure. Yes, I'd love to. So I do a monthly summit every Tuesday, last Tuesday of the month. I do a free call for any spiritual cat lover out there. And we do an hour of, I share what the cat collective shares with me. I kind of prepare beforehand. So I have the questions prepped beforehand so I can give you answers. And it's things from, it can be very, very down-to-earth stuff, such as how do cats feel about being, let's say, neutered and spayed? What do cats think about being adopted? Why are cats still hunting? to, but it goes all the way up to real spiritual stuff. How do they perceive the times that we live in right now, these challenging times that we are going through? How do they help us through the awakening process? What happens, how do they reincarnate? What happens after they cross over? How do they help us from the other side? So I have basically a set of topics for each summit, and I do an hour of sharing what the cats are sharing with me. And then sometimes we go into a meditation together and people can tap into their own cats. I always do a Q&A at the end where people can ask their personal questions. And these are really beautiful gatherings. And the next summit, the May summit, is all about kittens, because I just got a wonderful, beautiful new kitten. I'm so happy. I have him lying next here right now as we're doing this. And that inspired me to talk to the Kitten Collective and ask all about what should we know about adopting them? How, you know, what, I mean, we typically know what to do or not to do. But what do the kittens say about generally about adopting them? What do the cats say about adopting kittens versus adult cats? Because most people want kittens, but what about the adult cats that need homes? So these are questions that I ask them. And then I share, and it's really beautiful what comes through, and it helps people a lot. Mm-hmm. Understand their cat and understand cats in general and what cats really generally want from us. Hmm.
And then you have some lovely courses, too, available on your website. Do you want to tell us about those?
Yes, I teach all the things that I do, as in energy healing. I teach animal communication. I have classes on cats and their purpose, your cat and you, basically a spiritual awakening with the help of your cat. And I have a class that's called Your Cat, Your Guide. And I'm planning on doing many more courses. I'm actually in the middle of relaunching this whole academy to provide more courses at all kinds of price levels. You know, I have free courses, I have very small price level, I have a higher price level for the bigger courses. But it's all about you and your cat, to understand your cat better, to become an animal communicator, because it's very, very easy these days to learn animal communication. I make it very simple. How to do energy healing for your cat. And yeah, it's ever evolving right now.
Mm, that's fantastic. Yeah. And at the end of our episode today, you're also going to share with us a meditation that you can do with your cat. You're going to give us a guided meditation. So folks, stick around after the end of our conversation. You will really hear that. We're going to just put it right onto the end of the episode so you can follow along. Did you want to tell us a little bit about that guided meditation, Sylvie?
Yes. As with everything, I try to make things very simple, because people sometimes they overthink meditating. They think they have to sit in you know, clearing their head for an hour or so. I make things very simple. It's a short meditation. I basically connect you to your heart, to the earth, to the skies, to your spirit guides. And then I show you how to call in your cat, and you can ask your cat questions. And it's very simple. Anybody can do it. If you don't get it right, or if you don't get information the first time, just do it again. It's no big deal. I just try to make everything very simple. Even my classes, I teach animal communication in a very simple way, or energy healing, very basic, very simple. Anybody can do it. And it's the same with meditation. I just basically, it's 5-10 minutes, and it's very simple to tap into your cat and to get information.
Mm, that's really sweet.
Awesome. Yes. I wanted to ask a quick question before we close here. Is there a way for us to become more, clairvoyant or psychic with our cats, where we can read them? Because I feel they can read us. What about us having training to become better at hearing and feeling them?
And that's actually what they're training us to do these days, in these times of awakening, and they're actually training us to do that. I would really just, you can train yourself to tune into your cat. You don't have to go into a heavy-duty meditation, but if you're trying to find out what your cat is trying to say at any moment in time, I would just invite you to just close your eyes for a moment. just become still for a moment, maybe put a hand on your cat, just tune into your cat like you're tuning into a radio signal or you're tuning into something. Just tune into your cat, focus into your cat and go into the feeling, not so much the thinking. Mm-hmm. Get out of your head, go into your heart and just really feel in. Close your eyes for a moment, put a hand on your cat if the cat's next to you and just feel in and trust what you're getting. Don't overthink it. The first impulse is right. You might get a word, you might get a feeling, an emotion, you might just get overwhelming love, you might get a color, you might get an image, whatever. The cat's communicating with you all the time. Mm-hmm. And they're training us to listen in. So just become still for a moment, close your eyes, tune in, and just trust whatever is coming. And your clair senses will come online. Also, meditation helps, of course. As I said, I have a 5-minute meditation because I have a busy life. I don't have time to sit in meditation for an hour a day, and a lot of other people don't either. So 5 minutes a day, just take 5 minutes out of your day, morning, evening, sit still, close your eyes, go into a 5-minute stillness, and tune into your cat and ask what they need you to know. Mm-hmm. And they can, but in any of that, that's basically to tune your clair senses just by a 5-minute meditation per day. But you can do it in any situation with your cat. Just close your eyes for a moment and just tune in and just receive. It doesn't always come in words. It might come as a picture, as a feeling, as a thought. Anything that comes is the cat communicating with you.
Okay, that's beautiful to know that I had this sense that there has to be a way to tune in, because my cat has been sick and I've hired a couple of animal communicators to communicate with her clearly in a way that I felt I was unable to. And so that's why I posed the question, is how can I actually communicate with my beloved? So thank you.
Mm-hmm. So just know that when we are emotionally compromised, let's say, it's hard to get clear messages from your cats because your emotions overwhelm you. Your emotions will cloud whatever is coming through from the cat. So that's not unusual. Just know that that's not unusual. Even animal communicators, when it's about their own cat and it's something that's emotionally very upsetting or very, very moving, even they need help from another animal communicator sometimes, who is impartial. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So don't be upset if you feel you're not getting the right information from your cat, even though you're an intuitive. Your emotions cloud your clair senses.
Yes, I have heard that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But stay in your heart. Put a hand on your heart, stay in your heart, and just intuitively, you know the answer. You know it deep down, you know what your cat is trying to say, how your cat is really doing. Intuitively, you know. You just need to trust that feeling, that gut feeling that you have, or that intuitive feeling that you have.
Mm-hmm. I think the trust is the important piece.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So another way of knowing what your cat's, or understanding what your cat is trying to say, I mean, you can, yes, tune in, as I just said, but I just really want to mention the fact, because it's so important. A lot of times our cats are our mirrors. So if we want to understand why they act the way they act or why they do what they do, I always say tune into yourself. If your cat is restless and pacing, kind of tune into yourself. Are you restless right now? Do you feel are you restless? Are you pacing in your life or in that moment right now? If a cat runs around meows, meows, meows all the time, tune into yourself, feel into yourself. Where do you feel like, you're not being heard or you're impatient or no, it's usually when the cat is showing some kind of alarming behavior or over the top behavior, they are usually showing you, this is you, dear cat mom. This is you. You're not happy. You're restless. You're fighting. As I said, coming into the conversation, when people have cats that are fighting or cats that don't get along, it in 90% of the cases, it reflects humans in the household. There's humans that don't get along, humans that have lost that loving feeling for each other. humans that have put a barrier between them. You know, a lot of times people say, I have this new cat and I have to keep the door closed. I can't leave the cats. I can't let them get together because they will fight to the, you know. It's usually there is a closed door situation between humans in the house where they have either literally they have closed doors or they shut the communication doors between them. The cats will usually reflect what's going on with the humans in their life. So if you want to understand your cat's, let's say, weird behavior or over-the-top behavior, look into yourself, feel into yourself. Where is that reflecting you? Or if a lot of times if you have a cat who doesn't trust you or doesn't trust humans, who doesn't want to be touched, who runs away, you know, where do you not trust life? Where do you not trust humans? Where are you wary when somebody comes into your life, right? So if you want to understand, if you want to communicate better with your cat or understand your cat's behavior, feel into yourself. The cat will tell you about you. A lot of times the cat tells us about this is how you feel to your mom. This is how you act. This is how you are right now.
Serving as extensions of ourselves.
Yes.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, I'm just going to go home and cuddle with my cat now.
Oh, good plan.
Such a good
Very
topic.
Good plan.
Yes, yes, yes. The archetypes, this is just fascinating work you're doing. Thank you so much for sharing this. Cats sort of go under the radar, and if they're on the radar, they're kind of seen as something that's nefarious or, you know, like a black cat crossing your path and the feral cats, and they're all here for a purpose and they're here for us. And I think that's the take home message, is that we can find the medicine in our relationships with these beautiful animals. So thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah, thank you, Sylvie. Really sweet of you to come share today.
Well, thank you for having me on and having this opportunity to share with your listeners and your audience. I just feel it's so important to put this work out there and to put this information out there to counteract all those misbeliefs and misinformation about cats. So, yes, I'm honored to share this with your audience.
Yay. Yeah, yeah, we'll share your information, of course, and the classes and all of the trainings you do. We love you and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. So I'm inviting you to close your eyes and to put your feet firmly on the ground for the duration of this meditation. It will help you with the grounding. So I invite you to take 3 deep belly breaths. Just breathe in through your nose and breathe out through your mouth. In through your nose and out through your mouth. In through your nose and out through your mouth. And now keep your eyes closed and keep breathing in your own rhythm. And just imagine, I invite you to imagine that you will breathe through your feet into the earth. Just use your pretend mode. If you can visualize, if you can feel it, just use your pretend mode. There's no right or wrong here. So breathe into the earth, in and out. And with each breath, connect to Mother Earth or Mother Gaia. And you may or may not feel Mother Earth, her presence, her soul. She has a soul. She's a living, breathing being just like you are. And with each breath, you connect more and more to Mother Earth. And if you can, imagine that you have roots growing out of your feet. And these roots grow into the earth. They go deeper and deeper. And deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Until they reach the core of the earth. And there you will either see, feel, or sense a bright light. We may feel it as just a field of love. Imagine it as a bright light or crystalline light structure. And that is the soul of Mother Earth. And now just let that light travel up your roots. Let the light travel up and up and up. And then that let that light come in through the soles of your feet, and let the light flood through your legs, your feet, your legs, your knees, your thighs, up into your torso, up into your heart center, down your arms, up through the head, and then let the light flood out on the top of your head. And now breathe up into the sky, into the universe, into all that is out there. And connect to the light up there, out there, to God, Source, Love, whatever you call it. And then invite that light that you see, sense, or feel up there, the divine source. Invite that light to come in through the crown of your head and let the light flood through your head and let the light open all your senses, all your physical senses and all your clair senses. Let the light flood everything out that keeps you from using your clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience. Let that divine light flood your third eye. Open up your intuition, your third eye, your third eye chakra. And then let the light flood through your throat and open up your communication chakra. Whatever is there that's keeping you back from speaking your truth, from communicating with yourself and the universe, just let everything flood out. And then let the light travel to your heart chakra and let everything flood out that is keeping you from being your best self, your highest version of yourself. Everything that keeps you small, everything that keeps you not connected to your true self. And then let the light travel down your arms, your elbows, to your hands, and let the light flood out your hands and open up your hand chakras. Your hands, they may be creative hands or healing hands. And just let the light flood through. Let your hands open up to all the possibilities out there, all the things you can do, you want to do, you want to create. And now let the light go from your heart chakra. Let it trickle down further to your solar plexus. Let the light open up your solar plexus. Let the light trickle down further and open up your sacral chakra and your root chakra and flood everything out that you don't need anymore. Everything that keeps you from living your best life. Everything that is stagnant or emotional charge, let the light flood everything out. And now let the light travel further down your thighs, through your knees, into your feet, and let the light flood everything out. And let the light just go out the other end and connect with the light from Mother Earth. And now you're well connected to above and to below. You're standing in a pillar of light. Imagine you're standing in this pillar of light that travels through your body, connects you through from above to below. And now let the light flood your entire energy field, your entire aura, entire beingness. And now just see it as a, visualize it as a bubble of light that you're standing in, and this bubble of light just floods everything out of your aura that is hindering you, that's keeping you, that's stagnant. Just let the light heal all of that. And now calling your spirit guides, your guardian angels, your entourage, whatever you call them. You have spirit guides around you. They protect you. They guard you. They're always with you. Embrace them. Connect to them. Feel them around you. So now, place one hand lightly on your heart chakra and breathe into your innermost, into your core, into your center. And connect to your soul. To your soul self, and feel the vastness of yourself and connect to your higher self. Your higher self is like a huge light being around you. And now feel the connection. You're well connected to Mother Earth. You're well connected to Source and the Divine out there. You're well connected to yourself, to your soul, to your higher self. And you're connected to your guides. So just feel or listen in for a moment. Is there anything your guides want to share with you? You may have heard or felt or seen something, seen a picture. Whatever you get, there's no right or wrong. So now we're going to call in your cat. And now take your hands and open up like a virtual screen in front of you. Just like a virtual iPad in front of you, a virtual computer screen. Open that screen in front of you. And now call your cat into that screen. And you may see or feel your cat come in, your cat's presence. Maybe you see your cat's face, or maybe you just feel your cat's presence coming in. There's no right or wrong. And when you see or feel your cat's presence, ask your cat how he or she is doing. And you get the answer either as words or a picture, or you just know. And now ask your cat, what is your task or purpose with me? You can also ask, how are you doing that, if you're not sure? So how does it play out? How do you do that? Okay. Now ask your cat, is there anything else you need to know either about that, or is there anything else your cat wants you to know? All right. So now, thank your cat for coming in. Thank your cat for the messages. And then just close the screen in front of you and pull out. And invite you to take another deep breath. And know that you always can come back to here. You can always do this meditation again. So for now, I invite you to take a deep breath and to slowly, slowly come back into your body, into the here and now. And when you're ready, at your own time, you can open your eyes. And there you go. Congratulations. You just connected to your cat. And I'm sure you got a wonderful message. And you can repeat this meditation with any of your other cats, or you can always come back and do this again.
hope this conversation has empowered you. Remember, you are unique and you are a miracle. Your body doesn't make mistakes. It responds perfectly to an imperfect environment. Until next time, go get that life.